All right, it's nice to see you here this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll take our text from that chapter tonight. As we move on to lesson 7 in this series, Issues of Life, Answered from the Bible, we're asking this question this evening and this Sunday in our Sunday school classes. Is there comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ? Is there comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ? Probably one of the most misunderstood, if not the very most misunderstood doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. And perhaps there's a reasoning behind that. In fact, I think there is. Perhaps it's because this is also the most encouraging doctrine that we find in the Scriptures. I mean, I can't think of anything, any promise in the Word of God that's more encouraging and that gives us more hope and comfort in our own lives in the here and now than the teaching that we find in the Scriptures on the second coming of Christ. I mean, He is coming again. And we have this hope and this promise. We have the Word of God on it. And when this doctrine is rightly understood and we consider it in this way, we understand that there is comfort in the second coming of Christ. Now, a lot of people find fear in it. In fact, you may have experienced that yourself. Children sometimes experiencing fear when people talk about the second coming of Christ. Adults sometimes experiencing fear when people talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus. But really, that's not the intent of Scripture. As we study it in the Word of God, we find that it's meant to be a very great comfort to us. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And notice this last verse. Paul said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I believe the Apostle Paul even testified that the reason the Lord Jesus gives us this whole teaching is because he knows that we need this kind of comfort in our lives. You know, these are days of restlessness, and these are days of little peace. You don't have to look far across the globe or even far across town to find out that there's not much peace, true peace in this world. In fact, it's only found in Jesus. And as Christians, we need comfort and we need peace. And there's a comfort that we can receive when we understand this doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, every child of God can find comfort in this. And I want us to have an understanding of it, and we'll look at the Scriptures to try to help us tonight. Let's consider, first of all, the promise of His coming. The promise of His coming. Look with me in John 14, and then we'll look again at another Scripture that reiterates this promise. In John chapter 14, Christ is in the upper room, and He's really relaying some seemingly bad news to these disciples because He's telling them of His death that's soon to come. And in this chapter, we find that Christ has not only revealed His death, but He reveals something else. John 14, 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I don't know how many hundreds of times I've read this particular passage of Scripture, but I think every time I read it, I'm thrilled by the promise that Jesus gives in verse 3, where He just simply says, "I will come again." You know, there's certain things that we know to be true about our God. In fact, as we study the Bible, God is revealed to us as part of why we have the Scriptures. It's God's revelation of Himself and of who He is. And one thing we know to be true about God is this. It's not that God will not tell a lie. It's that God cannot tell a lie. I mean, just by the very nature of who He is, God cannot lie. And we find these promises in Scripture. It's a promise no matter if we believe it or not, but it's our duty as a believer just to say, "I'm going to believe it. I'm going to take God at His word. I'm going to hold to the promise in faith." And as we do, guess what? It gives us comfort and it gives us hope. And it makes us hopeful Christians because we realize Christ said, I will come again. And he is certainly coming again. In fact, look at Acts chapter 1 with me. We'll notice the language given there as Christ ascended up to be with the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. The truth is, if we take God at his word, if we just believe God's promise, then we know with certainty that Jesus Christ himself is coming again. It's not the coming of some new age or the coming of some new system. In fact, the Bible's not talking here about the day of Pentecost or about when we get saved. He's talking about literally the person of Jesus Christ. Just like he rose bodily from the grave, alive forevermore, and then bodily he ascended up into the clouds. The angels testified, those disciples, just like he ascended bodily up into the clouds, he's coming again in like manner, bodily, the person of Jesus Christ. He is coming in the clouds again to receive us unto himself. We have the word of God on it. And we have to consider the promise of his coming. All throughout the Old Testament, God's just ringing a bell saying that the Messiah is coming. And then all throughout the New Testament, he's ringing the same bell saying that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he is coming again. He's coming again. And we love these references. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter knew that there were scoffers, of course, in those days. There were scoffers in Jesus' day. But Peter knew there would continue to be scoffers. In fact, he said in verse 4, talking about these scoffers that would come, he said in 2 Peter 3, 4, they would be saying, where is the promise of his coming? People mocking and saying, is Jesus really coming again? What about this promise that's never been fulfilled? Where is the promise of his coming? And then Peter said down later in verse 9 of the same chapter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. I like that. If we have God's promise on it, then we should believe it. And friends, when we believe it, the bottom line is it will make a difference in our lives. In fact, it'll make a difference in our marriages. It'll make a difference in our homes. In fact, it'll make a difference in our church. As we believe this promise that God's given us, it'll make a difference in our lives. Not only the promise of his coming brings us hope and brings us comfort, but consider also the plan of his coming. What is really going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes again? We find much scripture on it, but the Bible teaches primarily about the part of it that we call the rapture in our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Primarily, it's talking about the rapture. We know that the coming of Christ is imminent. In fact, it's spoken of like that all through the New Testament. That means it could happen at any moment. That means we're not looking for any signs, all signs that have been given. We're not looking for any sign to be fulfilled. There's nothing yet to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ can come again for his own at any moment. At any moment. We're not looking for the signs. We're just looking for our Savior. And as Christians, we need to have that expectant attitude. The Bible says he is going to come again. In fact, it says, it's speaking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about those who are asleep. That means those who have already died in the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 16 that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are already dead in the Lord, they're going to be called up first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christ could come at any moment, and this rapture of the church could happen at any moment in time. I mean, we're ready for it. As far as prophecy is concerned, as far as scriptural teaching is concerned, nothing has to be fulfilled. We are ready for it at this moment. And it ought to bring us hope and comfort to know that Jesus can deliver us and Jesus can take us into his actual presence forever at any moment in time. He's ready to do it. The church will be raptured. There'll be 7 years of tribulation here on earth. Then Christ will come in his revelation. The first time he comes in the clouds for the saints. In the second phase of his coming, he's coming from heaven with the saints. And we're coming with them if we know the Lord. And we're going to rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. You know, it makes my heart lighter just to think about these promises. Just makes my heart lighter. I have a father, of course, who's dealing with cancer right now, battling cancer. And nearly every day I have to get on the phone and call up Daddy and say, Daddy, how's it going today? Did you have a good day or a bad day? Daddy, how's the chemo today? Daddy, how's the blood levels today? Daddy, what's the word from the oncologist today? But you know what? There's coming a day, and it could be this very day, when I'll never have to pick up that phone again. Because he and I both will be delivered from all that. And you know, the wonderful thing will be in the presence of our Savior. The promise of his coming is sure. The plan of his coming, because the way he's planned it out, that ought to bring us comfort too. But also we consider the preparation for his coming. Just very simply this, Revelation 22 and verse 20 gives us the very last promise of the Bible. In fact, it's the last promise of Jesus. It says in Revelation 22, 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. In fact, in the very next verse, John prayed here, in the very next phrase, even so come, Lord Jesus. The truth is, he's coming sooner than you and I could ever imagine. I know that to be true. Because the devil wants us to put it off. He wants us to misunderstand it. But when we know he's coming soon, it makes us want to prepare. Do we know that we're saved? Do we know we're serving God? He's given us his promise. He's given us his plan, and we need to prepare for it. Because certainly he's coming again. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And Jesus, I pray you'd come today. Lord, we long to be in thy very presence, and we thank you, Lord, that we can know the joy and the comfort and the hope of your soon return. Lord, make us hopeful people, and make us people that are comforted by understanding this teaching from the Bible. Bless as we teach it this week, and Lord, bless Pastor and the remainder of this meeting. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.